voice, and how do you deal with that sort of stuff? And if you don't deal with truth, you never get to freedom. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about going beyond just self and what it means to be a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And it is a kingdom, please understand. There are kingdoms and there are authorities that have risen and have fallen since the time of Christ. We're in the kingdom of the United States of America at the moment, although it feels like the separated states, doesn't it? Feel like we're kind of all, but that's where we are right now. But our primary allegiance is to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He is our king, the kingdom of God. And that's the kingdom that remains. That's the kingdom that when I start getting kind of down and I look at what's going on in our country and in our world, I remember those parables about the seed that grows up overnight. And you go like, where'd that come from? Because that's the kingdom. That's the one that persists. That's the one that wins. And that's where my hope is. Let me start this way as we talk through these things. If somebody told me, hey, I found this for sale, this 2006 VTX 1800, like new, less than 500 miles on the odometer. Now, hold on. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Somebody help us out. What am I talking about? Motorcycle, two wheels. Yeah, that kind of thing. Brap. That kind of thing. Motorcycle. They said, man, I found one. It's a 2006. It is like new. It's barely been touched. Man, it is amazing. It's been sitting in that garage 500 miles on it. Oh, you know what I'd say? Huh? I would say run. Don't buy it. Why would I say that, motorcycle guys? Huh? Hadn't been ran, right? You don't want a motorcycle that nobody has ever really sat on and done much with. They got it. It was a big old bike, and they were a scared little boy, and they were afraid to ride it. Ooh, did that hit close to anybody? I don't care. I don't. The worst thing you can do for a motorcycle is let it sit in a garage and never ride it. Over time, the gas is going to turn into this weird, thick kind of stuff. I know because I had to rehab one that somebody had given me. It cost me as much as I sold it for. The oil is just going to become like this weird stuff. The seals are going to dry out. Nothing in the bike is going to be good. As a matter of fact, if it just sits there, I'm told that the concrete will begin to absorb the moisture out of the tires and they're going to dry rot. There's nothing that good that comes from it. Even if you have it on a trickle charger, if it just sits there month after month after year after, don't buy it. You know why? Because a motorcycle is meant to be what? Yes, yes, with a big smile on your face because you're riding a motorcycle. Yes, especially as you hit the turns. Yes, motorcycles are meant to be ridden, not to sit in the garage. Or let's do it this way. I was thinking about it because today, I don't have time after service. I leave immediately. I usually hang out and we talk for a bit. Today, I'm heading out. My son goes back to school. He's got a two-year free ride master's degree at his school, which is awesome, and we're proud of him. I want little Trent back. I want the kid that would grab my hand, and he's about this high, and I'm way up here, and I'd have to watch him as we go across the parking lot into the Walmart or wherever. So I want that little kid. I'd go pick him up somewhere, and he'd come run, Daddy! Big old smile on his. I want that kid. I got the kid that I walk in, he goes, Dad, what's up? With a deeper voice than me. That's who I have now. And I'm so proud of the kid he has become, the man he has become. I'm so proud that he loved what Jesus has done in his life. And man, all of that stuff. But I want the little kid back. I don't get to have that. Because children are meant to grow and parents are meant to train them. As I tell my wife and have for many years, we got each other. He's the one who leaves. So she is my primary allegiance, my primary covenant. She has to be because he leaves. Let me just, not related to the message at all, but listen, parents, especially moms, I think, but parents, love your spouse first and most, and you'll be doing best by your children because they leave. And if you build your whole sense of self around your kids, you're going to crumble the day they leave. You're training them to leave, not because you hate them, but because you love them and want them to make a difference in the lives of others. Love your spouse first and most. That's not part of the sermon, but I don't apologize for it. You need to know that. I want my son to stay this little kid who needs me. But that's not the purpose of God giving us kids. The purpose of a motorcycle is to be run. The purpose of a child is to grow up and become, all things being equal. And here's the big idea for today. You'll hear it several times. Please absorb this. You were designed by God to be a channel of His grace and blessing in the lives of people around you. And you are healthiest, listen, when you live what you were created for. And that stands in opposition to, I want to make everything about me. It stands in opposition to, everybody focus on me. I need everybody's attention on me. I need to be drama about me. It needs to be about me. I need to work on my needs. I need to learn how to love self. You are designed by God to be a channel of His grace and His blessing in the lives of others. And you will be healthiest when you live as God designed you to live, living out His purpose in your life. Let's talk about the lies that we will hear, that we have heard, that we've accepted from the enemy, from the culture, and even sometimes, if you're being honest, from the church. You need to learn to love yourself before you can love others. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't. There's a Greek word for that. It's BS. That's not found anywhere in the scripture at all. It is assumed that you love yourself. The problem is how we define it. I just don't feel warm fuzzies about myself. You never will. I've met you. If you do, get help. It is assumed that you love yourself. You say, well, I don't love, and we do this all the time, right? How do you know you love yourself? You fed yourself this morning, didn't you? You're thinking about what you're going to eat here in just a little bit. You look a certain way. You dressed a certain way. You already have a focus on yourself 24/7. Now take that same care and concern you have for yourself and push it out towards others and love them and care for them in the same way. Let me give you another. You got to find yourself first. You got to just know who you are, and you got to, dude, that is a deep well. If you find yourself, you're going to be disappointed. Quit looking for yourself. You got to do what's best for you. I know people who spent years trying to find themselves, and they're still crazy. They're still nuts. Do what's best for you. Listen, a cross has never felt like it is best for me, but it has always led to my best, even when I've said no to the things that I really wanted because I knew that wasn't what Jesus wanted for me. The greatest thing I can do is carry a cross and trust the King who gave His life for me before He ever called me to live for Him. Even if you say, but God understands, but no. Scripture is Scripture. Follow Jesus. Well, you got to overcome that low self-esteem. I've told you before, I knew this guy, first church I ever pastored. He'd get this kind of down-in-the-mouth look, and he'd look like maybe he was going to give me some diagnosis from his doctor that was fatal. He'd say, I just need you to pray for me. I got low self-esteem. Dude, what? What Dobson you been listening to? Jail is full of people who feel great about themselves. Dobson was dead wrong. Self-esteem is not the answer. Dobson taught us, I remember this 80s, I remember this. The greatest problem people have is they have low self-esteem. If they had better self-esteem, they would do better things. No, their problem is a sin nature, bro, and Jesus came to break that. That's where your hope ought to be. Self-esteem isn't the answer. In fact, the Bible will say to esteem others greater than yourself. Ooh, there's a push for you. That's Philippians 2. Sin on the cross is the answer. Lord, let's nail that to the cross. And let me give it to you again because I keep struggling with it. There's your answer. How about this one? The moment someone speaks hard truth, call them toxic and ghost them. Oh. Dude, if you can't hear hard truth from fellow believers, you can't be changed by Jesus and become what He has called you to be. And hard truth sucks. I got that. But attacking truth just keeps me from being what God has called me to be. We all need hard truth. The other day, true story. The other day, we're in the car. My wife, my son, and I were going to go see a movie that I'm sure was G-rated and perfect and all godly. But we're going to see a movie. And I'm just full of myself. I'm still off the endorphins from the bike ride the day before. Seriously, I know where I'm at. I know I'm full of myself. And I'm going on, and my wife finally said, you're being kind of annoying. And then she thought she hurt my feelings, so she said, no, I love you. She was right. I agreed with her. You're right, I am. I need to just chill out. Sometimes we need to hear truth, right? Coming from somebody who loves me, no problem, I'm good. She's right. If I can't hear truth, then I will continue in the same patterns forever. How about this? This one's huge right now. Truth doesn't matter, just love. God is love. Love is all that matters. Dude, love without truth isn't love, right? If you got somebody who needs to put down a crack pipe and you say, I just want to love you as you are, yeah, but I want to love you enough to say, man, dude, that's destroying you. How do I help you with that? Love without truth is not love. And if you don't get to truth, you don't become what God is calling you to be because you never really repent. If you don't share truth and love, you don't really love. And all of these things keep us focused on self, if you go back and think through them, and keep us from focusing on others. Every single one of them is a distraction from the enemy that keeps you from saying, Lord, what's my ministry and how do I help others? You will never be as healthy as when you take focus off of self, carry a cross, and say, how do I make a difference in the lives of those around me? You're designed by God to be a channel of His grace and blessing in the lives of people around you. You're healthiest when you love what you're created for. So we're going to look at 1 John 3, and then we'll look at Philippians 2 briefly. 1 John 3, I'm going to read it to you from the CSB. We'll go through that, and then I'm going to go back, and I don't do this often, but we'll go to the Message version. It doesn't significantly change it. It just brings out some of the meaning. I don't do that often, but I want to kind of show you that today if we could do that. So let me go CSB first, Christian Standard Bible, just more of a word-for-word kind of a thing. By the way, before I get there, let me quickly, Kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom. We've talked about kingdom. If you want to lead, be a servant. Didn't Jesus say that? You don't need to exercise authority over, you need to serve. You know, if you got enemies, you're supposed to bless and pray for them. Isn't that fun? Oh, I just love that. Dude, you've hurt me. You've attacked me on Facebook. I have to pray for you. You want to be healthy? You focus on God, and you seek to serve others. Let me give you the 1 John 3. Let's do this thing. Little children, John says, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. When he uses the word love, he's talking about a preference for, seeking the best, longing for what the Lord wants for them. It is independent of emotions. Let us love not in just word or speech, but in action and in truth. The word for action is ergo. It means work. It means it's not going to just be easy. It's going to involve some work and according to the truth, actually doing it, not just, oh, I love you. No, I actually have to get involved in your life and care enough for you to help and to speak things that are hard and all the rest of that sort of stuff. This, when we love in this way, is how we know that we belong to the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. Oh, that voice inside. You're not really following Jesus. You need to work on self. You're not enough. And all the rest of that stuff. The word for condemn means firsthand awareness of the facts or charged as guilty. Yeah. For God is greater than our hearts and He knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive whatever we ask from Him because we keep His commands and do what is pleasing in His sight. By the way, the whatever we ask from Him, you can put an asterisk beside that because you always interpret Scripture as Scripture. And the Bible says that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that we have what we have asked. It's got to be according to His will. Now, this is the command that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He has commanded us. Do you see how He put both of those right beside one another? This is His command, love Jesus and love one another. It would not be too far to say that if I claim to love Jesus and I hate the brethren, I hate the Church of Jesus Christ, I hate fellow believers, I don't love Jesus because Jesus loves the church and His love will flow through me. So we're in a day in which people say, man, I love Jesus, I hate the Church of Jesus Christ. Dude, that's people. You hate people? Jesus died for people. And if you claim to love Jesus and hate people that Christ died for, I don't know that you love Jesus. Yeah. And so freedom from self-condemnation. We said last week you got to own the hard truth. This week, based on what we just read, you got to focus on God and others and do the hard work of loving by serving according to their needs. Now let me show you the Message version of this. My dear children, let's not talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. I love that he puts it, this is living according to truth. It's God's reality, not the reality of our world. This is how we know we belong to the truth. It is also the way, watch this, to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there's even when there's something to that. This is how we shut down this nonsense. Loving others, check this out, loving others shuts down the voice inside that says you're not enough, you're not good, you'll never be, you got this problem, nobody likes you and all. When you take the focus off of self and you begin to love those that God has placed in your life, and I'm not talking about the emotion, I mean, let me seek your best, even when it costs me and it's sacrificial, and that voice gets quiet and God's love flows through me. And it shuts down that self-criticism, even when there's something true to it, even when it's true. So you admit the truth, yeah, Lord, I'm jacked. Then you overcome it by being others-focused and serving them. It overcomes that debilitating self-criticism that I'm not good enough. Yeah, you're right, but God flowing through you is more than enough. Ah, then I'm free. Oh, it is so good. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. You know what he's saying? Your acceptance is your image of self, your identity is the acceptance of Christ on the cross. It all goes to that. And so if God knows you and he knows all the good and the worst, like God knows the worst thought you've ever had, the worst thing you've ever done, that one thing that if everybody knew, like you would just go hide in a corner, God knows it all. Loves you anyway and accepts you on the basis of the cross, and that sets you free. That's your freedom. And friends, once that's taken care of, we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves. We're bold and free before God. Again, let me make sure we connect this. Loving others brings us to this. No longer accusing or condemning ourselves because we're not even thinking about self. We're bold and free before God. You are designed by God to be a channel of his grace and blessing in the lives of the people that he has placed you in, and you are healthiest when you live out what you were created for. You're not a motorcycle in a garage. You're not a little kid who never grows up and is just static in time and stays that way. And you're not a Christian who's all about self. You're created for more. He goes on, he says, we're able to stretch out our hands and receive what we ask for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. Again, this is God's command. Watch this, to believe in his personally named son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with, I love how the message puts us, in line with the original command. If we love Jesus, if we believe in Jesus, then it naturally follows that we will love one another. We will seek what is best for one another. That's the evidence of knowing Jesus. Failing that, we wind up with religion without the saving knowledge of Christ and no spirit living within. One of the ways I know that I know Jesus is I love people that are incredibly hard to love. People that are easy to love, that's easy. Jesus said, hey man, even the Pharisees, even the Gentiles will greet one another in the marketplace. You're supposed to love your enemies and seek their best. Oh, they're going to compel you to walk a mile? Go the second mile. They slap you in the face. That's not about violence, by the way. That's about high insult. Let them insult you again. They sue you. They want to take your coat. Give them the shirt off your back as well. That's love. As we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience, watch that. This is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. It would be not too much to say that there are some of us who spend our time going, oh, Lord, I just need to feel your presence. Oh, Lord, I just need you. Oh, Lord, I just need to know that you're with me. Oh, Lord, I just need your presence. You want to know how you get that? Get involved loving others, and you will experience his presence in you in a very real and powerful way, because when he works through you, he never leaves you unblessed. It's not easy. I don't love it. There are times I just want to sit at home, and I get a call, and I got to go do something, go meet somebody, go. It's always worth it. Always. This is how we experience his deep and abiding presence, by loving others, just in case you missed it. That's freedom from self-condemnation and continual self-doubt and all that other self-stuff. You own the hard truth. Yeah, Lord, I'm jacked. I repent. You focus on God and others, and you do the hard work of loving by serving according to their needs. And here's what it looks like. We're going to look quickly at Philippians 2. I'll start in Philippians 1 because I want to give you the context. But it's just good stuff. Philippians 1. As citizens of heaven, there's the kingdom, live your life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, man, that word worthy. Oh, having a behavior that matches the original value. How do you live up to the value of a God who would leave everything, come to earth and die on the cross for your sins in your place? That's what you're supposed to do. Then, Paul says, whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I'll hear that you are standing firm in one spirit and one accord, contending together for the faith of the gospel. So there's unity in this thing. We're together in this thing, not being frightened in any way. I love this, especially for our day, for our time. Not being frightened in any way by your opponents. This is a sign of destruction for them, but of your salvation, and this is from God. Do what you want. We're not scared. We love Jesus. Our hope isn't this world. Oh, that's going to matter more as we go forward, I think, in our world if we continue in this trajectory. Fear is a liar. You were never meant to live in fear. God has not given us a spirit of, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. For it has been granted to you. This is Paul talking to people on the cusp of persecution from Nero. It has been granted to you on Christ's behalf not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Granted. Since you're engaged in the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I have. Live worthy of the gospel. Be in unity. Tough times are coming, but you ain't scared. And then here's what worthy looks like. Here's Philippians 2. Here we go. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. In other words, if you have these things, and the if then is easy. It would be like saying, hey, if you have skin, you should do this. Okay. You know, if you're taking a breath, if your heart beats, well, yeah, of course, then here's what you do. Because of course you have these things. Of course you have encouragement in Christ. Of course you have comfort from his love. Of course you have fellowship with the Spirit. He lives within you. Affection and mercy produced by the Spirit, of course. And if you have these things, then here's what you do. Let me go forward. Make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. He's going to show how we live that out. Now let me go back. Because my mind is here and it's going here and I need to go back. We're not called to live out of what we have. And so we just said you need to be other-centered. You say, well, I don't have it in me. I just can't do it, man. I'm tired. But what Christ provides by his Spirit living in us. And we experience it as we give it away. Does his Spirit live within you? Oh, I'm so empty inside. I don't have much. Let me promise you something. If you'll start to give out and be other-centered, you'll have more inside to give. Because the Spirit lives within you. It's not about what you have. It's about who he is in you. I don't have it in and of myself. There are times, man, when I'm just empty. I'm just tired. I just, man, dude, everybody go away. Leave me alone. It's not often, and it's not you guys. It's me, always. It's not you, it's me. But there are those times I feel that way. But when I get involved and I give it away, I find there's more in me than I ever knew because his Holy Spirit lives within. It's not about what you have. It's about who he is. Let me go forward. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. I want, I need, I'm more important, I need to focus on me. Do nothing. And that word nothing in the Greek, you know what it means? Nothing. Yeah, it's deep, right? It means nothing. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. That's also rendered, I think, in the NIV as esteem others as better than yourself. Oh, I need self-esteem. No, no, no. You need others' esteem. Continually search your own motives. Humility, consider others more important, more pressing, their needs first. Literally, it means to cast a heavier vote in favor of others. All right, I want this, but you know what? Doesn't matter. What do they need? There's the weight of it. Let me put the heavier vote in your favor. Everyone should look not only to his own interest, but to the interest of others. It is assumed you look out for yourself. We know you do. You know you do. Well, you know, I just serve people too much, and I have such a great heart. No, you got rose-colored glasses and a weird mirror. You need to rethink that. We all think about ourselves, even in how we position ourselves in front of others. Now, care about other people. Look not only to your own interest, but what are their needs? How do I serve them? If we all approach community, think about this. Think about how to get our needs met. We all come here saying, I need somebody to listen to me, I need somebody to talk to me, I need somebody to focus on me. None of us get our needs met. But if we all approach community praying for God to direct us and use us to bless others, everyone's needs get met, and we glorify Christ together. So if on the way to church we're saying, Lord, lead me to somebody today that I can encourage, that I can pray for, that I can, Lord, lead me to someone that I can help, then everybody gets their needs met. One of the things I love, and this is not diagnostic for us, one of the things I love because I watch it every Sunday, man, we're talking, we're sharing, we're laughing together, we're encouraging one another. May that always continue. There's a lot of life here. If I spend my time saying everybody focus on me, I'm creating dysfunctional community. So let me give you some provisos. Just things that as we're talking through being other-centered, you need to know we're not pastor-centered. And all the pastors in this building said, amen. Amen. Yeah. Because if we are pastor-centered, we are dysfunctional because pastors will fail you. And there's just one of us. I don't know how many people have said, I just need you to be my accountability partner. Dude, there's 20 of you and one of me, and I'm not even good at being my own accountability partner, so let's work on that one first, right? Do the hard work of getting to know more than just me. We love you, we do. But there's just one of us, and there's a whole group of us. And Ephesians 4 says that the pastors are given to equip the saints for their work of ministry to one another. Yeah. We're also not emotional support for the opposite sex. As we talk about how do I focus on others, let's be real clear here. I can't support. I'm not good emotional support for any woman in here other than my wife. And I'm probably not good at that either because I'm a guy, right? I'm listening. I'm saying yes at the appropriate times. And I'm thinking, do I need to put some more lube on that chain on my bike? But I am saying yes at the right times, just so you know. And by the way, so is your husband if you're married. He's doing something similar. You're working through how to fix the carb in his car or what's on TV. We're not wired that way. You're not wired, women, to be emotional support for a man who's not your husband. We're not wired that way. And here's the thing about this church. Here's the thing about this group. I look around. We got some men who've walked with Jesus for years. Young men, that's who you go to. I got a problem in my marriage. Good. Go to one of the older men who's walked it out, who've lived, who've suffered through some of the harder times in marriage because it's never easy for all of us all the way through. And talk to them about it. And if they can't help you, go to another one who walks with Jesus who's been through it, right? We've got younger women. We've got some amazing older women here, and they would love to talk to you and help you through it. And if that one doesn't help you, go to another one. Yeah, and don't go to one to one to one. Find one, but then stay there and let her help you. And when she speaks hard truth to you, friggin' listen to it, guys. Friggin' listen to it, women. We're not emotional support for the opposite sex. Let me give you another proviso. EGR speak of need in place of want, but they need hard truth. Let me explain that. EGR, extra grace required. Have you met anybody like that? Don't look at me like that. Yeah, people are always about me, always about me, always about me. And you have to focus on me, and if you don't, I will create drama and create things so that you will. They're going to talk about need. You need to have the discernment of Christ to say, what do they really need versus what do they want? And when you give them hard truth, they may walk away. Give them hard truth anyway. They may not like to hear it. Give them hard truth anyway. They may dislike you. Give them hard truth anyway because you're called to carry a cross and give hard truth. There are drains and faucets. You want to be a faucet, not a drain. If I come in, and there will be seasons and times, listen, I'm just being real, there'll be seasons and times. If I come in where I'm hurting and I need somebody to listen to me, I'm draining them, but that's okay because we can do that for one another. There are seasons and times. If I am always a drain, then there's a problem and I'm creating dysfunctional community. It's okay to not be okay. It's not okay to what? Stay that way, right? In which case, somebody needs to say, hey, Brian, dude, you make everything always about you. You're draining the life out of me, man. I see you coming in, I run. I needed to hear that, yeah. There are seasons and there are times, but I can't be a drain year after year. My desire is that, Lord, you would make me a faucet so that I pour into others. And as I do, you're going to meet my needs, even if nobody pours back into me. But they probably will, because that's what we're supposed to be as the body of Christ. Speaking the truth in love, we will, all of us, grow up into him who is the head, that is Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 4. And it all starts with this, knowing Jesus and then picking up a cross, denying self and following him. And the thing about the cross, I can pick up a cross, but if it's padded and it involves no denying self, it's not the cross of Jesus Christ. And if I have to tell people and take a picture of myself carrying that cross, I'm probably not carrying a cross. Just serving Jesus today. Hey, hold up that 20 I just gave you, bum. No, that ain't serving Jesus. Just so you know. And don't call him bum, jerk. Yeah. Let's go a little further. I got to do this quickly. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. The word means grasp or held on to for gain. So in other words, he put aside self. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. He emptied himself of his rights and came to earth. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There's your humility. In humility, consider others more important than yourself, because that's love. He served according to needs. And it cost him. For this reason, God highly exalted him. Here's what we said. If you will get involved in the lives of others, God will meet your needs. Jesus is the prototype. He gave it all, and God then met more than his needs. God highly exalted him, gave him the name that is above every name. Name represents character and nature. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That's the Jesus you follow, by the way. One day, everyone's going to bow to him. Even the ones who demand that we bow to them in all the different ways they do it these days. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus put others first. Let this attitude, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The Father more than met his needs. That's the divine pattern. 1 John says it's also the way you shut down debilitating self-criticism. You get involved in the lives of others, you carry a cross, you sacrifice self, and you find out that you're the healthiest person you could ever be as you do. That's the call. You're designed by God to be a channel of his grace and blessing. In the lives of the people around you, you're healthiest when you live what you were created for. Let me go a little further, so just that we have the context. Do nothing out of grumbling and arguing or complaining, so that you may be blameless and pure. By the way, I would take that if I could. If I were Jefferson, that verse would be taken out of there, because that is a huge struggle for me. And all my family said, amen. Yes, that's a struggle. I want to complain. I want to grumble. I want, yeah, but I don't want it. Yeah, but I don't. Do nothing as you're serving others. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure as part of your witness, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. The greatest evidence that Jesus is real is a people who love each other well and serve one another without gossip or complaint. And I get to look around and I see that so often. And yeah, we may struggle and stumble sometimes. But man, I love what God is building here in that community of faith, where we're able to say, yeah, I know what I want, but how can I serve you? Yeah, I know I'd really like the carpet to be this color, but you know what? It doesn't matter. Let's serve Jesus. Well, I'd really like the chairs to be over there facing that way, but let's just serve Jesus. Oh, I love that. That's what we're called to be. All of us can be drains. I said this for a short season. If they stay a drain, then it leads to dysfunction and distracts from the mission. We want to be faucets. Lord, help me to be healthy and life-giving so that I pour into others. I see a whole lot of that. May it increase. The faith, we said last week, is about controlling self and helping others. Carry a cross. I want, it doesn't matter. Carry a cross, control self. How do I pour into others? If it becomes about helping self and controlling others, it's not Christianity. Right? Let me say it one more time. You're designed by God to be a channel of his grace and blessing in the lives of people around you, and you're healthiest when you live what you were created for. I'm going to stop here. I don't know if I've got more or not. Doesn't matter. I'm stopping here.